Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. This week, we have been talking about the profile of the first man and the first woman in the garden in Eden, and yesterday I told you that they were morally good. We'll continue to discuss what this means today. And to put this in context, let me remind you of how I have defined moral goodness. I want to make certain you capture my intention with this key term. For my definition of being morally good, I will borrow from Dr. John Frame. In his Systematic Theology, he defines moral goodness like this. Moral goodness is conduct that measures up to God's standards. Moral goodness is our conduct that meets God's standards. Adam and Eve had that in the garden in Eden. Let me continue to quote Frame. Adam and Eve were purely and simply good. Like the rest of creation, there was no defect in them, nothing that could have been criticized. They were holy in thought, word, and deed. Unquote. At this point in the story, in Genesis chapter 2, as they stand before God in the garden in Eden, Adam and Eve were both good. I want you to notice this. God declares them good. And we have had this before, but let me remind you of this verse again. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. And please remember, this is the last verse of chapter 1, so this is said following the creation of man and woman. Meaning, Adam and Eve were both very good. And by good here, I mean moral goodness. That is, Adam and Eve obey the commands of God and therefore receive the blessing of God. As Frame said, they were purely and simply good, holy in thought, word, and deed. Well, this is moral goodness. That was life in the Garden in Eden, total perfection, complete goodness, no immorality because there was no sin, because there was no evil. We must remember this. Grasp this at the start of the book of Genesis, because as all of us who have read chapter 3 know, this does not last. Now, I do not know if you remember, but at the start of sharing this profile of Adam and Eve with you, I said that we would ask how they are similar to us and different from us. Here, we come to a distinct difference between the morally good Adam and Eve and us. They began as morally good. According to the Bible, we all began morally bad. The Adam and Eve of Genesis 1 and 2 are not at all like you or me, or anyone else for that matter. To the question, are people born good? The answer is no. People are born bad. And by bad, we mean morally bad. We can say it this way. People are born sinners, not saints. And this is a hard fact for most people to accept. How often we hear, I am good enough. Our tendency is to contrast us with others and to come out looking very good indeed. So we glance across the society and we see the man who murdered his wife. And we have never murdered our wives. We see the protester who was caught throwing Molotov cocktails at police officers, and we know that we have never once attempted to harm an officer of the law. We know our fellow student has been cheating on his essays and exams. We've never even thought of cheating. We've been to the funeral of a colleague who was just a nasty, angry, raging, awful woman, and we think, well, I am not that bad. When I am in that coffin, God's got to accept me. I mean, I'm not perfect, but I'm certainly a better person than she was. But the issue is not, are we better than others, or even are we good enough? The question is, are we good enough for God? And it is valuable if you do not miss two key words in my definition of moral goodness that I gave you yesterday and reiterated earlier today. The words are God's standards. God's standards. Borrowing from Frame, I said, moral goodness is conduct that measures up to God's standards. You see, when we set the standards for moral goodness, we always set the bar way too low. What we have to do is step back and ask, what are God's standards? And that is the true measuring rod for our moral goodness. And so let us hear what God has to say. I'm thinking of two texts of Scripture, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. In the Psalms chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, we read this clear statement. The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. That's quite the statement. God is in heaven and he looks down upon us here on earth to see if he can find one, just one who is good, and God cannot find one. Here again, Psalm 14, there is no one who does good, not even one. Well, let that ring around your mind and heart. None of us are good. We are not morally good. Even when we contrast ourselves with other people, we must remember, yes, they are not good, but neither are we. There is no one who is good. There is no one who does good. This is God's perspective on us. You are probably still objecting to this in your thinking about now. So let us hear from the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, Jesus is in conversation with a ruler when this ruler asks Jesus, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" The ruler must have believed in eternal life, that is, there is life after death, and he prefaces his question with, "Good teacher." Well, the response of Jesus might surprise you. Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." These are the words of Jesus in Luke 18, 18 and 19. Luke 18, verses 18 and 19. And here again is the verdict on us given by Jesus, who is the Son of God. No one is good except God alone. So, from the perspective of the living God, are you good? No. Am I good? No. You and I, it turns out, are morally bad. We are different, very different from the Adam and Eve of Genesis chapter 2. They were morally good. They later become morally bad. We are morally bad, and there is only one way for us to become morally good in the eyes of God. The only way for us to be made morally good is if we accept Jesus' death on the cross for our bad. If we take his good for our bad. If we confess that we are bad sinners, but he is the good Savior. And we put our faith in him to deliver us from this wretched sinfulness. It is not by our good works that we are saved from our sin. It is only by our faith in Christ that we are saved from our sin. There is no one who is good. There is no one who is good enough for God, but there are those who are righteous. There are those who are made morally good by Jesus the Christ. Christ's righteousness becomes our righteousness. And these people are genuine Christians. Are you one? There is no one, I do not care who you are or who they are, who is inherently, naturally born good. No one. There is no good in us. There is not a better angel of our nature. God's view is what matters, and God says that we are not morally good. King David had it 100% correct when he said this in Psalm 51, that great psalm where he confesses his sins to God. "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me," David says. I was born morally bad. King David needs Jesus Christ. We all do. Jesus Christ is God's standard for moral goodness, and Jesus is perfect. The standard God sets for moral goodness is the perfection of his Son, Jesus Christ. So that if you are not in Christ, if you are not Christ-like, then you are not meeting the perfect standard of holy God. All the time in our culture, we are constantly hearing how good we all are. In fact, in America, we have made it so that now what was good is bad, and what was bad is good. How prideful and how ungodly, how sinful of us. We must pray that God will have mercy on us as we confess our sinfulness to him. This is what America needs more than anything: repentance from our sin. We confess to God that we are sinners in need of the Savior, Jesus Christ. As we end today, let's circle back. How is it that Adam and Eve began by being morally good when we do not? Or I can ask it the other way around. How is it that we are morally bad? Where do we inherit our moral badness from? The answer is from Adam. And for this, we have to again read Genesis 3, because when in the garden Adam sinned, then we all sinned. Adam's sin is our sin. We inherited our morally bad nature, our sinful nature, from Adam. That's why what happens to Adam and Eve is tragic, tragic for us all. And I'll tell you what, we're out of time, but we'll pick up here again tomorrow on God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others. And be sure and join me for the next one.